headed back in. Turned in! A second of the game for Van Veen, and he is loving it. Cornelius on the edge of the ball. Oh, wow! How special is that for his first Motherwell goal? For Slattery, and he shot away! It's a fantastic strike! And it's thundered in by Liam Grimshaw! What a moment for him! The fans' favourite!
Hello and welcome to the MSC podcast. We finished on a bit of a negative note last time out, and I don't think things have got a great deal better, to be perfectly honest. A 1-1 draw against Dundee, a Scottish Cup exit at the hands of Hibs last Sunday. But we'll look ahead, and also we've got Pepe alongside me here, who's got a massive trip coming up. Mate, welcome along. It's good to have you back. And it's an exciting time for yourself just now.
That is, but apologies for being so late. It's 10 o'clock now, and I've been delaying you, I think, an hour for about 7 o'clock the night, so apologies for keeping you out of your bed.
No, not to worry. An hour of depressing football chat is exactly what I need just now. As I said, we finished up on a bit of a negative note the other week. We were bemoaning our fortunes. We hadn't won a game in 2022. That remains the case. Let's start with the league game against Dundee almost 2 weeks ago now. We got into that game, Dundee really fighting for their lives. At the bottom of the table, they were on the back of a draw against Hibs, but they were hammered against Livingston the week before. You're thinking, if you're ever going to get 3 points, this is a perfect opportunity. And within 7 minutes, we're a goal down. Stephen O'Donnell tries to be a bit too clever for me at the edge of the box. He's robbed by Paul McMullen. He bends in a great effort past Liam Kelly. A goal down. We did get back into it pretty quickly. Joe Efford with his first goal for the club. After that, we just kind of huffed and puffed and didn't really do anything that particularly threatened the Dundee goal. A very frustrating afternoon. And it just continues that run, which still remains in place. No victories since Boxing Day of last year. We're now sitting at the 17th of March. It's a really, really troubling record, and it's turned what was looking like a very promising season and a season that was going so well into quite a poor season at the moment.
It's certainly been a poor 2022, is the way that I'm looking at it. The Dundee game itself, a glaring error from O'Donnell, but I still think McMullen's got a fair bit to do, and it was a good finish. I've actually been quite impressed with him, having not really known much about him, thought he was maybe a bit of a journeyman, but every time he's come up against us, he's impressed me. Again, a few things that we discussed in the previous podcast, that Ricky Lamy, I couldn't believe that he was playing. However, I've got to say that there's nothing to do with him without regards to the outcome of the result. But the thing that struck me was it was just a really drab game. It didn't feel as if there was any intensity in it at all. I just felt as if it did feel solely kind of completely negative. Now, whether that was because the game itself was we were getting beat so early on, that's obviously got a factor to it, but this didn't look as if there was much urgency. And I think we'll discuss this at greater length, but I don't think that the substitutions, we've got the relay to what the team's going to be at the start of the game, and then as the game progresses on, it's almost like a stubbornness for the manager not to make the changes. And I think I can probably emphasise that further when we go on to discuss the Hibs game. But disappointing that you've got two home games against Ross County and Dundee and come away with 1 point. Now, somebody, Mark, that as a fellow Elf fan, our boys playing the same team, it gave me, I made a good point saying that I think every game in 2022, with regard, barring the Hibs game where it was nothing each, we went behind in every game. And for me, that is a worry. Hanging, obviously, the game in Boxing Day we won, but I'd be interested to see how far back it actually goes. That we've, it feels as if we have come back into it, for trailing behind. So that, for me, is alarm bells ringing. Because it sets you, it doesn't let you play to your game plan, if we've even got one.
Yeah, that's it. It was a frustrating one, because you were expecting big changes to that team against Dundee, given what had went on in the Wednesday night against Ross County. There was changes, and unfortunately they didn't have much of an impact. But what frustrated me, and as you said, we will elaborate that on that further when we come to talk about the Hibs game, it's glaringly obvious, and I think that, especially with the atmosphere around Fir Park just now, and that's something else that we'll speak about. I keep on saying we'll talk about other things later on, but in the here and now, within 7 minutes, you're a goal down. The fans are booing the team. It was almost like the worst case scenario happened against Dundee, because we really needed to come out the traps flying. We needed to get that first goal and give the fans a bit of a lift and something to believe in again, because they've not had that for so long. Yes, we came back against Rangers, but I'm kind of getting a bit sick of it up here, and if we have put in some good performances this year, have we really? We're, for 45 minutes at Ibrox, we showed a lot of spirit. I think we were pretty decent against St Mirren. But again, we fall behind and we have to rescue a point right at the death. That aside, it would be solely cup games that you could take any positives from. And that's not good enough. It still remains the case that the things that are going on in the park aren't good enough. And that lies at the door of the manager for me, and he's got to get that selection right. We're 3 games away from the league split. And Graeme Alexander doesn't strike me as knowing his strongest starting 11. The inclusion of Ricky Lamy was really confusing for me, because you're going to get a situation, and we discussed that on the last podcast. We throw a ball into the box and Ricky Lamy rises to meet it at the back post, heads the ball home, Motherwell win 2-1. Ricky Lamy's responsible for costing Dundee a crucial point. Could be the difference between them being in the Championship next season, being in the Premiership. I think it was a difficult situation to put Ricky Lamy in. And I also can't really get it, because we had the situation where Ricky Lamy couldn't get into the team. And I'm sure that had quite a big bearing on him departing the football club or choosing to leave in the summer. Now he's if anything, he's possibly a first-choice centre-back. It's completely baffling. And you wait to quarter to two on a weekly basis, and you just know that graphic's going to throw up something that you just really don't expect. And most of the time, I must admit, I don't really like it either.
No, that I'm really trying to be as positive as I can with regards to it. But there's all these wee factors that keep on adding up, adding up. And you just think, you've used the example Gary Neville has said, he regrets getting rid of Graeme Alexander. And I've been thinking about how best to put this, but I think Graeme Alexander's a steady pair of hands. And I think he's going to always divide the support with his ways. He appears to be really stubborn. I've said my frustrations with regards to his press conferences, kind of lack of information, or his manipulative way of not giving his information, and whether this is his style that he likes to use the squad rotation to set off the opposition, but for me, it's starting to work against him. Another point I think as well is that I don't think we've been terrible. I've not enjoyed it as much as I would like. But what I do think is, I think teams are learning how to play against us now, and I don't think the manager can see that. What we've said before is that the style that I think that he deployed game management, and I think it's now getting used against us. I think that the teams are known how we're setting up, how to play against us, how to frustrate us. And until Graham Alexander can see that, then it's grim viewing. But at the end of the day, I listened to Billy Dodds doing an interview before the Inverness game on the radio, BBC Scotland, and basically he said sometimes you just need that wee bit of luck. I listened to the commentary, and the next thing you know is they get a lucky goal and they go on and win the game against the top of the table or both. Maybe that's just what we need. I don't think we've had the luck, although Joe Efford's goal against Hibs was maybe a wee bit of stroke of luck, but it didn't result in us getting in for the game. So I think we're missing a wee bit of everything, including luck in that. But you name it, your own luck at times.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I think even when you look at the game or the week prior to the Dundee game, you've got the game at Ibrox where Morella scored two goals that may or may not have been offside. So maybe you get the bit of fortune with the decisions there that went our way, albeit it didn't bring us 3 points, but it certainly helped our cause to get 1 point. Then we could go back, I suppose, to the previous game at Ibrox where Fashion Sakala scores and he's certainly offside. But let's look at the Hibs game. It's a bit fresher in the memory. A Scottish Cup exit at the first, in the quarter-final stage for the second year running, again to Hibs. It started in the worst possible fashion, didn't it, Pepe? Within 50 seconds, Bevis McGabby, a tackle in the middle of the park. For me, there's absolutely no need to fly into the tackle in the manner he did. Willie Collum had the red card out well before the dust had settled. It must be said, I don't know how much time he took to recalculate the situation and take stock of what had went on, but a red card in controversial circumstances. 5 minutes later, Jordan Roberts commits a similar type of challenge. I would actually argue that it was perhaps worse than McGabby's. That only merited a yellow card, although I think it may have caused a riot had they sent off two Motherwell players within the first 6 minutes. And Graham Alexander talked about this after the game. He says that when, as soon as you go down to 10 men at such an early juncture of the game, it completely changes the dynamic. The game plan goes out the window. As it transpired, Hibs got ahead on the quarter-hour mark. They doubled their lead about 10 minutes before half-time. Joe Efford drags us back into the game on the stroke of half-time, and you've got that wee bit of hope. It was a poor Hibs side, a nervous Hibs side. We created a few chances. Again, we're hampered by the lack of substitutions. It took until 9 minutes to go until the introduction of Kane Woolery, who almost immediately came so close to levelling the scoring. There had been a sub at half-time, the introduction of Stephen O'Donnell for Yanni Ayala, who certainly will have better afternoons than he did on Sunday. That change for me should have came a lot earlier as well. The boy Jasper for Hibs was having a great time. He was in acres of space throughout the first half. He provided the assists for both the goals. And a manager that's shown that he's not scared to mix things up, Graham Alexander, he's subbed a sub on numerous occasions this season. For me, I'm trying to get my head around that as well. Why is the reluctance there to not make us up? This wasn't a league game where we could take a point and think, well, do you know what, we get out of dodge there. I would prefer losing 4-1, 5-1. It's a Scottish Cup quarter-final. You've got a shot at Hampden. You're playing a team that are getting increasingly nervous. The opportunity was there. Bevis McGabby, for me, has committed the foul that essentially put us really on the back foot. But the game wasn't lost there. The game was lost through poor decision-making and a negative approach from the manager. Yet again, we can dwell on what-ifs. You look at the draw on Monday night, and I'm not saying that we would go to Hampden and definitely beat Hearts, but we'd have a chance. And that chance is gone now. The financial boost to get into a cup semi-final is gone now. And that's a sore one. What-ifs for another year. I don't think we treated the Premier Sports Cup seriously enough this year either, out at Dens Park, in a game that we should have won. We should have put a team out that wasn't heavily rotated. I'm just disappointed with what I see as a missed opportunity there. And how many years do we reflect on that? The Cups are such a massive thing for Motherwell, and I thought the manager was beginning to buy in to that. A massive win against Aberdeen in the previous round. But, yeah, again, all for nothing.
Agree and disagree with some of the points. I think the game, it wasn't a loss. It was certainly the favour turned massively into Hibs's path when McGabby sent off. Was it a red card? There's Motherwell fans that will say yes it was, and there's Motherwell fans that will say no. When you get a decision like that, then it's the likelihood is it probably was. Did they need to make the challenge? No. Now, for me, what the pivotal point is, and you've covered this, is that at that point, yes, we're only 2 minutes into the game. Is anybody actually going to make a sub? But for me, the most important thing there was that you're needing a right back on there. You're needing somebody who's used to playing in that position. And with the shove Saundry out there, for me, the thing that alarmed me even before the sending off is that you're playing virtually four centre halves in that team, almost five, because McGinley for me isn't a left back. He's stronger in the positions. When you're playing McGinley and McGabby almost as wing backs, for me that's absolute madness. Yes, we've all seen Bevis running up and down the wing and skinning some players and getting news and ask for the crowd, and he gives 110%, and he's completely turned me around. But he's not going to perform in that role, the attacking side of it. McGinley, every time he goes beyond the halfway line, he's turning back and playing the ball back, and that's not what you need when you're playing that kind of virtually playing with two midfielders. So for me, the team selection was absolutely bamboozling. I think that I've been a big supporter of the game, Alexander, but I think the game was almost in Hibs's favour before the sending off. I looked at that squad, the 11, and I thought, we're going to have an overrun in the midfield. We've got nothing out wide. And the other thing was that the player that I thought has played well since Rangers, who's won a couple of Man of the Matches, is Ken Woolery, and he's sitting on the bench. I mean, again, I've said I don't want to be negative, but I really don't know what positives you can take for that. It's just, as I said, it's a kind of head-scratcher, and as you say, it's really frustrating. It's the Cup, and you're sitting there 81 minutes. Yes, you get Stephen O'Donnell on at half-time, but why is he not coming on early? I thought Robert's done all right, but he could hardly walk by about 70 minutes. Just really, really disappointing. And it would have been so good to get back to Hampden. But it's not to be. It's easy to blame that decision in the first minute. The one thing I will say is that the referee's got a massive decision to make. And as you say, I was sitting virtually in front of it. And I could see him straight away getting into his top pocket, and I'm like, he's a red card. But then he's got to be consistent, and I don't think he was after it. If he makes that decision in the first minute, he's got to make all his decisions as consistent as that, because that did ruin the game. But I think Alexander got his team wrong as well.
Yeah, I'd agree with most parts of that. I think, for me, Ken Woolery offers a hell of a lot more than Jordan Roberts does. And I've always been fairly positive about Roberts. But he frustrated me a lot on Sunday. I didn't really think that his contribution was... And maybe I'm just comparing it to what I think Woolery can bring to the team. And don't get me wrong, there's games that Kane Woolery can be a wee bit absent and be a bit frustrating. But I was really frustrated by Jordan Roberts. I think that he can be quite negative. I don't think he offers a great deal of a goal threat. And That's maybe a hint of irony there, because he's scored a couple of goals since the turn of the year. But yeah, I don't see Roberts as a long-term option. I think he's been a stopgap on a couple of occasions in his time at Motherwell. But I would much prefer to see the threat of Woolery. And I think it was demonstrated very quickly when he came on. Just his pace can cause trouble. His power can cause trouble as well. And he's more of a physical presence than Roberts is. So I just think he got it wrong. And despite what had happened 8 days previous against Dundee, the crowd turned up in good numbers. It was a good atmosphere inside Fir Park. A very vocal travelling support. The day before it, there was a group of fans up at DL Park giving the players encouragement and letting them know exactly what it means to them, a possibility of a Scottish Cup semi-final. And it was almost kind of felt like the message was, don't let this one pass us by. And the left Ifritin out there, the one thing I would certainly not criticise about the performance against Hibs was, I don't think one player in claret and amber that played the majority of the game left anything in the pitch. Dean Cornelius deserves a special mention, because I thought he was absolutely outstanding. He ran himself into the ground. His drive was excellent. It was just a really good performance. The praise that I heard Motherwell get in the radio after the game, it was all about the fact that he put Hibs in the back foot, really tried to continue to go for it, despite the fact that we were down to 10 men. So there was positives there, and the spirit is going to need to be replicated in these final three games before the split. And then following that, should it be the case that we've got the opportunity to push on and perhaps even sneak a European place? Because let's not forget, if it's the case that Hearts beat Hibs in the Scottish Cup semi-final, then that opens up fifth place to Europe. So yes, I'm downbeat about the fact that we've missed out on a Scottish Cup semi-final. It would have been a great escape from the league and how disappointed we've been at times. But there's still plenty to play for. There's three games to go. And it was interesting to see Stephen O'Donnell's interview, pretty forthright, that was released by the club today. Put his hands up to the fact that, yes, performances haven't been good enough. He mentioned himself in that and mentioned that mistake that I've spoken about against Dundee. I think there's a lot of frustration amongst the players because they've not been able to kick on since that victory in Boxing Day. But then there is another live message there, and that's the three games to go against St Johnston, St Mirren and Livingston. We're a point off of fourth place. I think we'll reflect in this season to this point and say performances haven't really been there. There's been probably now more downs than there has been ups. But you've got eight games to go, and the narrative could change here.
No, it certainly could, and I'll come on to that just in a minute. I just want to summarise virtually what you had said and clarify a couple of points. Just back to Ken Woolery quickly. I'm not saying that Ken Woolery is the be-all and end-all. I just think it's really wrong that when a player seems to be hitting a bit of form that he ends up on the bench. Now, for all we know, he could be injured, but we don't get any of these updates. And I said, we're not entitled to it, but for me, it's head-scratching. Just with regards to Jordan Roberts, I do find him frustrating. I don't know if you recall when we done the kind of summing up, just one of the last podcasts we did with Andy P, both myself and Andy P, said we probably wouldn't have offered Jordan Roberts a new contract because we weren't sure. Seemed to get a lot of plaudits for his performance against Hibs, and that seems to be him. I think he is a decent player. Would I look for him to be there next season? Obviously, we've still got a fair bit of this season to go, but for me, he's so replaceable. It's unreal. I've already said that I think all of a forward line, with the exception of Van Veen and maybe Shields, is very similar. And I get on to what you're talking about. There is that incentive there to finish fifth. And if you look at the three games, which we'll probably talk about shortly, for me, all three of them are definitely winnable. Do I think we'll win all three? how can anybody, how can it, even the most positive Motherwell fan, I don't think we say we'd win all three. So out of the three games, it's going to define your season. I think a lot of fans in Sunday were virtually thinking that's it, season over, bottom six, nothing really to play for. But now that you've got that wee incentive potentially that you could be getting another wee trip away, certainly gives us something to play for, and we're probably due a wee run. I mean, it would be great to get there, and it would really give you something to fight for to get into that top six. And want to win every game anyway, but it gives you that wee bit extra. And I think it is, getting that European place would be great. Do we deserve it? I don't see what difference it makes between us and any other team. Obviously, we watch Motherwell every week, and I don't think this has been our finest season for entertainment value. But at the end of the day, the table doesn't lie, and it's where you finish that matters.
Yeah, and maybe I'm going full circle from the last podcast, but I suppose that the circumstances are that there's been a lot of poor teams in and around us this season, and they've not been picking up points either. So it gets to game 30, and we're sitting there almost with eight games that will determine everything. And amongst that, you're also got the financial boost of finishing in the top six. And having mentioned that we've missed out on the cup semi-final, we've now got an opportunity to kind of really boost the club coffers going into what will be another summer of, you imagine, there's a fair bit of transition, a number of players with deals that are due to expire, pitch renovation and things like that. So any kind of boost in income would be absolutely welcomed, I'm sure. So there's so many strands to it. But in terms of do we deserve it, if you're sitting there in fourth or fifth at the end of the season and you've claimed a place in Europe, it doesn't really matter whether you deserved it or not. It's the case that you finished after 38 games in that position and you move on. I still think it does need to be better next season. I think we do need to improve going forward, but at this juncture, we can't improve the squad. We need to work with what we've got. And for me, the manager has to work better with what he has, because this constant rotation hasn't solved the problem of finding that first win of the year. I think it's actually dragging the fans down to a point where there was a lot of social media stuff during the week or the week leading up to the Hibs game that there was almost going to be nobody there and everything else. It turned out it was actually one of the strongest home supports of the season. But you run the risk of disengaging people and losing these supporters long term if the performances and the results together aren't good enough. And I think these next eight games are so important for a variety of reasons. I think it's quite important for Graeme Alexander as well. I know he's only a couple of months after signing a new contract, and I know that with the fickle nature of football fans, we were sitting here very happy that he had signed a new contract. But if you go into the new year in fourth place, and end it in eighth or ninth, there will be questions asked. And I'm pretty sure that in the manager's objectives, they may have been drastically different from what they were at the start of the season.
Yeah, they totally are. But I mean, I'll put a swing on its head and say, I would honestly say that, see, if we go out and finish fifth, on paper, that is a really successful season. And will I be happy? 100% I will be, because at the end of the day, it's probably higher up the table than I thought we would finish. I would be interested to see what other fans say, because I don't think that he's overly popular with the... I'm not going to say the majority of the support. I'm going to say a large section of the support. And even if we got fifth and into Europe, I don't think it would be too far away for the following season for under a similar type pressure. But I think he's had that with the his managerial career. I think he splits fans' viewpoints, and I think he's used to it. But at the end of the day, as you say, the end of the season doesn't lie, and we just really need to wait and see how these next three games are, because this is what's going to, that is really going to shape our season.
Let's move on and talk about these games then. We'll start with the immediate future and St Johnstone on Saturday. Pepe, they've had a really turbulent season, given that they're on the back of a double cup victory. Everything seemed very rosy in the garden at McDermott Park. This season's been a struggle throughout. It's at second bottom, possibly only been saved by how poor Dundee have been to this point. So far, when we played them this season, a 1-1 draw at McDermott Park earlier on in the campaign, a 2-0 victory on the 18th of December. It's one that I'm sure we'll go into thinking we can win. I don't ever go to McDermott Park expecting a defeat, but it's certainly going to be a tough ask. They'll be right up for it. They're fighting for their lives. It's down to us to take the initiative. The fact that we've not went ahead this year, it tells you we need to go there and be looking to get the first goal, playing the front foot. And also keep in mind the fact that their supporters as well are, they're in a bit of a negative place suddenly from winning two cups last season. Callum Davidson's under a wee bit of pressure. We can use that to our advantage if we go there and seize the, excuse me. We can take advantage of that if we go there and seize the initiative.
I mean, I think St Johnstone's a good, you picked a good example there with regards to the manager. I think that it's almost similar, although Steve Robinson did have a brilliant season with regards to COVID, after as COVID hit. But as I've said to you numerous times, I always love to go into the message boards because I think that's where you get the best kind of a judge of fans, not on Twitter, but you get into their actual message boards and have a wee sneaky peek. And the majority of St Johnstone fans don't particularly like the manager at the moment. Understandably so with the position that they're in. But at the end of the day, I mean, he's going to be an absolute legend at that club, and it's going to take a massive set of balls to sack him after the greatest achievement that club will ever have. But what I will say is that, I mean, we beat them 2-0 at Fir Park. It's one of the worst teams that I've seen at Fir Park, and I was really disappointed that we only put two past them. I thought they were absolutely terrible. Actually fully expect to stick up there and win, and I know people will probably say, oh God, every time he says that, we get beat. But I do. I think that we've got a strong enough squad. I think we've had a bad enough run where surely our luck's got to change. And I think we'll get up there and put them back into issues. They are under severe pressure. But I don't think they're a good side at all. Obviously, they signed Chiefchi, who I believe is probably injured, to Ali Crawford, who will no doubt come back to bite us at some point. But I don't think they're a great side. I like their keeper, but prefer ours. I think that if we go for our strongest 11s, I think I would pick the majority of our team over theirs. So for me, that puts us in his favourites. And I fully expect us to go up there and win. Ironically, I'm still trying to find this out. I'll be setting off at 12 o'clock from Amsterdam on Saturday, and I'm hoping and praying that they've got Wi-Fi on the plane, but nobody can actually seem to tell me. So it would be a bit of a surreal experience, and God forbid anybody that's sitting next to me that on a plane from Amsterdam to Kenya. Because if Muller will score, I'll be going off my nut in the plane. Just hopefully I don't get arrested when I'm arriving in Kenya. But in all seriousness, it is a vital game, even more so that you've emphasised the chance of getting into Europe. So I hope we go there and I think I've only maybe missed four or five games this year. So I'm going to miss these next two. And I'll be back for the Livingston game. But I hope we got there and put in a great performance. Or even just put in a shite performance and come away with 3 points, which we've done plenty of times this season. Whatever one takes their fancy, and they'll make my trip a good start.
Yeah, that's it. I would say that it's likely to be a shit fest, or much more likely to be a shit fest than it is to be a classic. Just looking at the previous fixtures, last four visits to McDermott Park, a 1-0 victory, Devante Cole scoring in what was a really scrappy game. I remember he basically missed from the goal line in that game, remember? And then went on to score his first goal, he kind of sclaffed it in. Then it was a 2-1 defeat in the infamous Christy Mazinga game, where he took the dive after coming on, and that was his second booking, and got sent off, and they scored the last kick of the ball. Then there was a really scrappy one each prior to Christmas time last year. And then most recently, the 1-1 draw at the start of this season, when Tony Watt scored the equaliser 10 minutes from time. So very little to separate the teams in these games.
I'm going to go back even further. I remember, you know, sometimes you're just sitting in the house, and it was probably before my wee boy was going to away games, and it was a Tuesday or a Wednesday, I think it was a Tuesday night. Mother were playing St Johnson, and I thought it was a good idea to travel up there on a Tuesday night. There's maybe only a couple of hundred Mother fans, and Gunnar Nielsen was in goals. And
I was there as well.
I could not believe what I was watching. I think that he must be related to what's his big, Aaron Chapman. I think that they've got their brothers for different mothers or something, because I just could not believe that goalkeeping performance that night. He's international for Faroe Islands, but for me, I was like, why have I driven up here on a Tuesday night? It was freezing cold. So hopefully they get a better performance. I'm sure they've got a better, safer pair of hands now, and Liam Kelly. But listen, I think if we go out and know of this back five, you're almost saying, oh, can you go back to the 4-4-3? I would love to see us doing a 4-4-2. Whether or not we've got a personnel that's going to be able to do that, I don't know. But we need to go out there. I've seen a wee bit of negativity directed toward Kevin Van Veen. I don't really know what Kevin Van Veen can do. He isn't the most consistent player, but I think he offers you the most threat. It's him that sets up Efford's goal, some great work against Dundee. And for me, he's definitely the biggest threat that we have in that side at the moment. He's not getting the rubber green, but I think he needs to play off somebody. Nobody to people to his left and right. Somebody close to him. But who is that player? I don't know.
Yeah, I'd say that any criticism of Van Veen in recent weeks is quite unfair. I think that he looks like a one player that's likely to do something, and he gets the fans excited when he's on the ball as well. So I think that's pretty unfair. In terms of the point you made about moving away from the back five, yes, I do agree. I think the wholesale changes need to stop, and hopefully they do stop come Saturday. Another player I think that has been badly missed, and it surprises me to say this considering he's been so in and out the team constantly, but Mark O'Hara came back, and I think that he was certainly pushing us on and produced a couple of performances, and he was a big loss for that Hibs game on Sunday there.
No, but that's the thing, Andy. You kind of picked your 11 and your side, and maybe you think you'd maybe get one or two right. One or two wrong. But not for a second would you think that the players that were coming away, oh, he had a good game, he had a good game. Look, the obvious one is Liam Donnelly, right? It's the kind of elephant in the room. He's had arguments with the fans. I can really like Liam Donnelly, if I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think he's had a great few games. he has really started to look like a defender playing in midfield. Some crazy tackles getting in and whatnot. If it had been him, O'Donnell or McGinley without sending off in the first minute, the place would be going absolutely mental. But because it was Bevis who's put in some good performances, it gets a wee bit more leeway. But I think the majority of the fans are getting frustrated with O'Donnell. With Donnelly. But that's the manager's choice. It seems to be his first pick. And I think the weird thing is it would probably be the majority that supports player that hasn't been performing at the level that we all expect. And then when you've got, if he's looking to his right or his left-hand side, he's got Nathan McGinley coming up to be part of the midfield, and he's got Bevis McGabby. What chances have you got? Do you know what I mean? The only way that he can look up for is to try and play it toward the front three, and that hasn't seemed to be the case. I'm not saying, again, it's all Liam Donnelly's fault. Don't think he's performed great. I thought he played better against Hibs. I seen he get another international call-up. Well played. Was it deserved? I don't know what the other players in about him are. What kind of level they're at. But is Liam Donnelly maybe needing a wee bit of time in the side? My midfield three would be Slattery, Cornelius and O'Hara. I just think that would bring us the best results. But I'm pretty sure that Liam Donnelly will be playing. And I just want to say that I don't think everything's Liam Donnelly's fault. I just think it would do him good to come back off the bench. The other point I would make as well is that this will probably, I think you'll probably disagree with me on this, but see for the last wee while of that game, for me the right back that should have been on would have been Grimshaw. He's the one that's running up and down that line. When we're trying to gain something for it, some of them had grimy runs, probably even rather than O'Donnell. Or he could have subbed this up again. I think he would have had the energy to get up and down that line. And that's what we needed. And that substitution should have been made far earlier. Not if it wasn't going to be, it should have been made in the first half. I'm just ranting now because I'm getting more frustrated about the cup as we reminisce about it.
Heading into the last 5-10 minutes of the podcast, you've already alluded to the fact that your trip, the much-awaited trip to Zambia, begins on Saturday. So we're sitting here 36 hours before your departure. There's been more work going on in the last couple of weeks, and for anyone listening, Pepe organised a local football match amongst two primary schools last week. Bevis McGabby was in hand to give out the medals. Now, I reckon I've sussed this out. Bevis McGabby spent that much time helping Pepe on that Thursday afternoon. It was absolutely knackered come the Sunday. So within a minute, that was him blown out his arse, had to commit that foul, get a straight red. And it's maybe Pepe's fault that his charity endeavour has cost us our Scottish Cup hopes. You're welcome to respond to this, mate.
Aye, and ironically, that is where we sit. We sit right down the front. So I think he's maybe seen a couple of the boys that he was wanting to impress them. So I'll take that one on the chin. But listen, what I will say is that Bevis McGabby, for me, when he came to the club, he wasn't performing at a level that I thought was acceptable. And I called him out on it almost on a weekly basis. I wouldn't call myself a bully against Bevis McGabby, because if he wanted a square goal, I would use every single thing that I had to get away from him. But yes, it was a great game. Ben Banks came and covered it for the local press, and he done such an amazing job. There's a cracking video on Twitter, and there were supporters there and stuff. The whole point of the game was to show the difference of the facilities in Scotland that we've got on our doorstep for kids to play, to show that in the comparison of what I'm going to be going over and doing in Zambia. But a wee special thing that happened during that, and again, I'm not try to bring in the cheesy element of it, but what was so special for me on that day was some of the kids had never played in a competitive game of football, hadn't represented their school. Patterson's trophies were brilliant and donated a whole load of trophies, and Bevis McGabby was an absolute gentleman. Top guy. He was just phenomenal. So good to be all the kids. He could have spent all day getting pictures taken. And I'll tell you, there was only about 10% Motherwell fans there, but everybody was coming up and looking for pictures, even the girl supporters were up, and he was an absolute gentleman and an absolute credit to the club, and I've let the club know that. Bobby Park was it sorted for me, so I can only thank him enough. But the day itself was great. Seeing kids that there's an article in the Wishaw Press, and it's amazing seeing they get a goal, and you would think they've won the World Cup final. And for me, I've said this a few times recently, that I don't often say that I'm proud of myself, but I seem to be saying it a wee bit more now. But it was a joy to behold. I would hope that maybe down the line, I can maybe get another couple of schools involved, if I'm going to be going back out. Just a shout out though to St Brendan's Primary. I didn't know that they said they were wanting to raise funds, but I didn't hold any expectations. But I was in the school today, and they've raised over £530 for me to take out to Zambia. So I just think it's people supporting me has been absolutely phenomenal, and yourself getting in touch with Gordon Duncan to get me on the Super Scoreboard as well. It's been a whirlwind for Bobby Madden to the game with Bevis to Super Scoreboard. It's been mental.
It's been absolutely brilliant to see. It seems to just continue to go from strength to strength, and the momentum's built and built and built ahead of Saturday. How are you feeling now that the COVID test is back, the flights are booked, your cases beginning to be packed? Can you believe when you were telling me before we started that you've still not started packing, but you're almost there. How are you feeling about it? Is it excitement? Is there a mixture of excitement and nerves? What's the emotions just now?
I think at the moment the nerves are that, am I going to get this case packed in time? I'm actually taking an extra case full of stuff that people have given me, like Bobby Madden shirts, for example, but loads of folk have given me like stationeries and sweets and stuff like that, and I'm just going to take it as an extra case. But I think the main thing, the emotion is that I'm a wee bit I'm quite an emotional guy, and I'm not scared to admit it, and I think I'll really miss my kids. Alright, it's only 2 weeks, but I've never been away from them before. I'm going to a couple of different countries that I've never been myself. But at the end of the day, what you've got to remember is that it's me that's put myself in this position, and I'm a strong enough person that I want to make people like yourself, anybody that's come and spoke to me, I want to make them proud. Not just the Motherwell side of things, but the football side of things. For me, football is such an important time of your life. You were saying to me, do you want to just leave it? Do you want to just leave it? But this is an escape for me doing this, and I thoroughly enjoy it. I know probably people listening can't stand me, my viewpoints, but in all seriousness, we've got that, we escape, and some people may be listening use this as an escape, and I really do want to try and emphasise that when I'm over there. Football, for me, can be the best, can create the best weekend that we've got. If I get a Wishaw Wickham win in the morning, and a Motherwell win, and a Liverpool win, my weekend's made no matter what happens. And I want to go over there and try my best to spread that. I'm sure you can see how passionate. Am I nervous? I'm just nervous about the unknown. But I'm confident about my abilities, my own kind of a communication skills, that I can make it a success. Just once I'm there, I'll be able to relax a wee bit. And luckily now we're in times where there's FaceTime, and as we're using the Skype at the moment, that if the kids are missing and I'm missing them, then I'll be able to to see them on a daily basis, and hopefully we can get something arranged that we can maybe do something whilst I'm out there. I'll certainly be posting some videos and stuff like that, but particularly the day when I'm going to give out all the Mullow strips, we'll try and tie that into one of the games, and you never know, maybe if I be Mullow Supporters Club and maybe try and start a few songs in one of the schools or something. But just before, I know folk will be getting bored with listening to this, but I really can't thank everybody that's liked a tweet, liked a Facebook page, bought a raffle ticket, said hello to me, wanted to ask me questions about it, attended the football games, attended my charity night. It's overwhelming. As I said, I've been getting out to the schools, and the amount of people that said, oh, I'd love to do something like that, well, I would say do it, because it's completely changed my life, and it's done it. It's been a good change, a change that was maybe needed for me to keep focused on things. I spoke to Ben Banks about mental health, and I think me and you have had numerous discussions about it. And doing something like this to keep as active as you possibly can is definitely the right way to go. You don't need to go to the extent where you're taking 950 kilos of football equipment. But by all means, when I come back, if there's anybody listening, I'm not going to name anybody. But I've received quite a few nice messages on Twitter, particularly for people that suffer from mental health. And for me, that's been a really special moment for me. If I have what I'm doing has made people look at life that wee bit different for this point, then my message is getting sent here. I'm not perfect in any way, shape or form, but I'm here to listen to anybody, and if anybody's wanting to chat to me about it, just because it's a different topic, my DMs are always open. And who knows, maybe you'll see what I'm doing, and in a couple of years there'll be tennis getting it, and maybe you include yourself in that, Andy. I think it's going to be a life-changing experience. But but the Motherwell fans have been amazing. Liverpool fans have been amazing. But let's enjoy watching a wee Villies turn in claret and amber, and hopefully getting them to watch Motherwell St Mirren. So just thanks again, and I include you in that, Andy, because you've been pivotal to sorting out a few things. You always say that I don't look for any plaudits, which I don't. But you're equally as guilty as that. And it's going to sound like a bit of man love at this bit, but generally do appreciate everything that you do, not just with this, but with the podcast. You do all the groundwork, and I just run late and make you pull your hair out. But thanks to everybody. I'm going to be really cheesy here for the Motherwell family, the community, for the club. And I've got to thank Bobby Park for sorting me out last week with Bevis. Without him, there'd have been a lot of disappointed kids. So thanks very much, and hopefully speak to you in a moment.
Brilliant, mate, and it's been an absolute pleasure watching it all unfold, and I'll be sure to share anything that I receive from yourself or I see posted online to keep people informed of what's going on, and really look forward to having you back in a couple of weeks' time. And what we'll do is we'll maybe do two separate episodes. One just recapping the events of the previous 2 weeks in Zambia, and then hopefully on an equally positive note, talking about the victories that we've had that have propelled us into the top six and everything. By the time we reconvene, we'll be looking rosy in the garden. Mate, all the very best. I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic success. As I say, pleasure being involved in a small way to this point, and I'm really looking forward to see what comes of the trip. It's an incredible effort. It's been so many years in the offing. Go out there, make the most of it, enjoy every second, and as I say, we'll catch up with it all on your return.
Yeah, you definitely will. I mean, it was a stressful day today with the COVID test. I had deployed. I was going to go in and put the wee prong outside my nose, and then just try and pull a flanker, but unfortunately it was a nurse that stabbed my brain with a swab, and I don't even think I'm lying when I say that. it was the worst experience of my life. So I spent 2 hours panicking that she had found something because my lateral flows hadn't. But by pure luck, it was there. But please keep tuned in, and hopefully don't bore you too much with videos of what I'm doing. But it's also important that the message gets sent here. And if there's anybody that wants to reach out and hear a chat about it and maybe make plans about going further down the line, I think it is always good to have plans. And I'd be more than happy to come and speak to anybody when I'm back. I've always got time for people that need that wee bit of extra help. So a final thanks to every Motherwell fan that's even just looked at the stuff. I mean, it was amazing that I get invited onto Super Scoreboard, I think through yourself, at the weekend, and Gordon Duncan had made a mention to Hugh Keevans that he'd seen the 1992 Motherwell strips, and getting the opportunity to get that story across on such a good programme and well listened to programme is something that will live with me for the rest of my life.
Oh, fantastic, mate. Well, thanks to everyone that has taken the time to listen tonight. You've been listening to MSC Podcast. We'll be back in a fortnight's time, give or take a couple of days when Pepe has returned to home soil. Until then, thank you very much and goodbye.
Am I losing my mind? Am I sick like I told you? Don't fuck with my hype. I'm a beast like that Coltrane, that Soul Train go far. Capped out like FIFA, stay 10 off the bar. Break through that music, that vibes with your soul. No feeling your legs when you lose all control. When I hear that whoop, you're better not. Oh, I'm taking it fast, I ain't taking it slow. Why you playing my phone? I don't listen, won't make reply when I'm in the sky. Flying high, mountain high. Yeah, I'm flying high, mountain high. Am I losing, am I losing, am I losing my mind? Jump from the pit to the stage, that's my hype. Nah, hip cat, no cash bar, like you ain't on par. Capped out like FIFA, stay in off the bar. Break through that music, got vibes with your soul. No feeling your legs when you lose all control. When I hear that whoop, you're better not. Oh, I'm taking it fast, I ain't taking it slow. Why you playing my phone? I don't listen, won't make reply when I'm in the sky. Flying high, mountain high. Turn my back and walk away while you're bailing my